Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
It's Vision Sunday, but one of the things that happened last week is we started a new sermon series in Proverbs. And when I was praying about what to bring to the church today, I felt the Lord lead me to Proverbs and to use Proverbs as a way of unpacking a few themes that I think is relevant to us at this particular stage of our church life. And specifically, I felt the Lord speak to me from Proverbs 24. So I'm going to be dipping into Proverbs 24 a few times. You may want to have a Bible in front of you and have it open on Proverbs 24 as I nip around within that chapter a number of Proverbs. So if you want to stick your hand up, I'm sure the hospitality team will come round with Bibles. The first proverb that I want to highlight is called Saying 21. It's one of the 30 sayings that is in this section of Proverbs. I don't know why there are 30 sayings in this section of Proverbs. All I know is that they are wise. And this is Saying 21. It comes in verse 3 of Proverbs 24. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. But in the Bible, the house is often used as a euphemism for the temple. And it almost certainly is here. Solomon, after all, was the builder of the temple. So he's talking about the temple. But I think it can be used also as a metaphor for our lives, and specifically the life of our church here at St. Barnabas. And so this Vision Sunday, the question is, what are the ways that this affects St. Bees? What wisdom are we going to employ to build this house, the house being the life and the ministry and the mission of this church? Now, the hospitality team, who are very busy this morning, are going to come round with our mission cards. We publish these mission cards every year, and they're going to come and circulate those now. Do take one, because the rest of my talk, I'm going to be going through these mission cards, and so you'll want to have one in front of you so you can see. When you've got a card, turn to the grey and mustard-coloured side of the card, because that's the side that I'm going to be focusing on. If you're interested in the white and turquoise side of the card, you can go on to the downloads on the website, because I spoke on the white and turquoise side of the card at Vision Sunday last year. So I'm not going to go over that again this year. But the grey and mustard side of the card, the first thing to note is that these cards were published as our key priorities for the year 2015-2016. So immediately you think, well, it's over. That one's done. When I looked at these, I realized that these four key priorities are still all completely current for us now. Because of everything that we're going through with Go and Grow, we're still in process on all these four things. And so we decided that we were not going to redo them for this year because they're all still current. And that we decided also, because we had a good supply of these cards, that we wouldn't go out to reprint, but we'd save the money on that, but simply to note that these cards now will carry through to 2017. Is that all right? They're not printed on the card, but if you just make a note that instead of 2016 in the bottom right-hand corner, just note a mental note that they carry through to 2017. Let's now look at these four key priorities that we have set. First, launching a mission training hub. Now, mission is so central to our vision. We want to be a missional church, a church that goes out in the name of Jesus. And to do that, we will need to change our perspective on how we live our lives. We need to start to live intentionally as missional people, our whole lifestyles being informed by mission in the communities out in the world that God has placed us. Now, we've actually started this new mission training hub. For those who attended the Mission for Life course this last week, you have already experienced something of this new mission training hub that it's all up and running. The Mission for Life course is actually a pilot course, but despite it just being a pilot, 40 people have signed up for it and are already doing it. And so it all sounds incredibly exciting. And at this point, I want to invite Dave Farnworth, who's on the course, to come and join me. Why don't we encourage Dave? So, Dave, you've gone on the course. Why did you choose to go and do this course?
I suppose it's called a mission for life, but for me, it's a life's mission. I mean, that's my purpose, really, to share Jesus Christ. And, I mean, the blurb about the course, when you read the cards at the back, I think still talks about envisioning, training, and equipping. Well, I've had some of that over the years as a Christian, but I wanted to be re-envisioned, really, just to be more effective in the way that I can share Jesus with the people around me that I come into contact with.
And what do you hope to learn specifically on the course?
I think me and Fiona, my wife, we're already engaging with our neighbours through Good Neighbours, through community lunches here at church, through BSEM. We're engaging with those people, but it's how can we be more effective in just sharing the passion that we have for Jesus with them.
And how did week one go?
It was great. We had a speaker from all nations. He was from the Asian subcontinent. I won't attempt to pronounce his name, but he was great, really exciting. I mean, week one was, who am I in Christ? And just, I don't know if you've experienced when the Spirit's leaping in you, but it was exciting as he reshared the Bible passages about our relationship and our adoption and our sonship in Christ Jesus. It's interesting, Henry, you've made the analogy to the house, but I guess he challenged us as well. And yes, we are the temple of God, but he said, are you the temple of God? Are you a garage for God? Have you got riches? Have you got gifts there that are hidden away with the door shut? Or are you the temple that's wide open, sharing those? So that was probably the challenge for me from week one.
Right.
Going on later on, the one I'm particularly looking forward to is talking Jesus. How do we talk Jesus with our friends and neighbours?
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Dave. I should say that this course is fully subscribed. So if you've heard Dave and you thought, oh, I'd love to go on that, don't come along next week because there isn't any room. It's fully subscribed. But we are going to be running the course again. As I say, this one is just a pilot. And so just watch that space because that's an important key priority for us. Second key priority, starting new neighborhood missional communities. Now, if you were here last week, you will have heard David make reference to this already, and you'll be hearing more about it, because we believe that now is the moment that God wants us to be prioritizing the launching of missional communities in local geographic neighbourhoods, whether that be New Barnet or Mill Hill or Whetstone or Fryam Barnet or East Finchley or New Southgate or Totteridge if you're rich, or Finchley Central, wherever. You know, maybe you live in one of those places I've mentioned. And maybe God is even speaking to you now, saying, well, I'd like to form a little community. I'm getting to know a few of my neighbors. Maybe we could invite them in. We're going to be talking a lot more about that in the coming months, because we see that as the thing of the moment. We feel that this is what God is showing us to be doing now. The next mission key priority. Now, the next two key priorities are the ones that I want to focus on in a bit more detail. But firstly, the next one is undertaking a review of St. Bee's spiritual life and health. Proverbs 24, verse 26 is saying 22. And it says, surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. So Solomon tells us to take advice. He tells us to seek good counsel from wise advisors, to consult. He, in effect, tells us to stand back from the situations that we find ourselves and look objectively at them, look at those issues, to go to outside consultants, all of which we are doing. We are currently in the process of undertaking a full spiritual and strategic review of our church's life. We've already taken a kind of spiritual temperature check to see where we're strong and where we're weak and how we can address that. And over the next 6 months, we're going to specifically look at our structures in the light of our spiritual condition and also in the light of our move up to Solar House, asking questions like, you know, are we employing the right type of staff for the structure of mission that we are going to be undertaking? Is our decision-making processes, are they finely honed for the mission that God has called us to? Is our financial planning in line with the mission that we believe God is showing us to do? Even is our mission structured in the right way? And so on. So we're going to look at that full structural review over the next 6 months. And then in tandem with that, we'll also be reviewing our mission action plan. Now, our current mission action plan, which you'll see up here on the screen, it was in the vision document, was to run from 2011 to 2016. It was a five-year plan. And so it is finishing now. But just the same as with the cards, because we're midstream with Go and Grow, we've decided actually to extend its life for a year and run it through to 2017 so that we undertake this full review in the light of our move up to Solar House. So we're going to run that through to 2017, and then next year we're going to publish a whole new mission action plan to run from years 2017 through to 2022, a five-year plan with measurable goals so that we've got somewhere we can see where we're going. What will it look like? Well, you'll have to wait, because I'm not going to tell you that now. I don't even know that. But I can tell you that we are entering a whole new chapter of our church's life. We're going to be based up on the high road in Solar House, and life will look quite different And there'll be more of that in a minute. Through the next few months, this autumn, we're going to be doing that structural and strategic review that I talked about. Then the beginning of next year, we're going to lay before the Lord the vision for this church. We're going to ask him to show us, to re-envision us. I'll be calling the church to prayer for a week of prayer and fasting at the beginning of next year to just ask the Lord, show us the direction, Lord. Then through the spring term, we'll be working that through with working groups to work up measurable plans for us to work to. At the AGM in April, I will bring news of that to you so that you can see where we've got to. And from September next year, we will launch our new 5-year mission action plan. So that's the plan all coming up over the next year. The next and final key priority on the card, finalizing Go and Grow. Now, of course, the moment I say that, you probably think, oh, this is the bit about the buildings. And, of course, it is partly about the buildings. The move from this building up to Solar House on the High Road is a big thing. And let me bring an update as to where we've got to. Just in the last month, we have submitted our planning application. In fact, if you live within the immediate area around Solar House, you will have received a letter from me telling you about this planning application. Anyone here received that letter? Yeah, a couple of... Yeah, well, I received a letter from myself because I live in that catchment area. Then in October, we'll be going out to tender for the building contract to do the conversion works up at Solar House for phase one. And by Christmas, God willing, we will have our planning permission. Then around Easter, we will have builders on site up at Solar House. And then by the end of 2017, we will have moved. So that is the schedule for the coming year. It really looms large on our horizon, this move. But I want to suggest to you that finalizing Go and Grow on this as a key priority is not just about buildings. It's far more than that. It's about the shape of our mission into the future. Next proverb from chapter 24. Solomon said in verse 27, "Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house." In other words, if we concentrate solely on buildings, on sorting out the move up to Solar House, on all that kind of stuff, and ignore the work of the mission and ministry of the church, we've actually got the whole thing the wrong way round. The building, after all, is there to facilitate the mission and ministry of the church. It is, in effect, just a tool. It's a very important facility, yes, it's an incredibly important tool, but ultimately, it is just a tool. We may feel great affection for a wonderful building. A building may be very beautiful. This particular one we're in, significantly more beautiful than the one we're going to, as it happens. But it is just a tool. Solomon says, put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. And after that, build your house. The real work is in the fields. Let me try to paint a picture for you of what the vision for Go and Grow could be, what a vision for St. Barnabas going forward could be. And I'm going to do that by looking again at what we've called the five dimensions of Go and Grow. If you've been around St. Barnabas for a little while, you will have seen this before. The five dimensions of Go and Grow. Firstly, a resourcing center. Conferences. We run conferences. We are already running conferences. Every few months, we run a New Wine Networks Day conference. We run some other conferences as well. But the truth is, we haven't done much in the way of conferences. Three or four a year, some of them only for half a day. The dream is that we'll be running conferences regularly, that we'll be attracting speakers from all over the world, that we'll be hosting, not only running our own conferences, but hosting conferences for others as well. We'll become a hub for Christian conferences in North London. Courses. We're already running courses, of course. We're running Mission for Life. We run the Alpha course. We're running a healing training day coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And so we're already running courses, but the dream will be to provide many, many more resources, both for us and for our network of church plants, Oakley and Church at Five, and the other church plants that have emanated from here, and indeed for the wider church as well. There is so much more that we can be doing. Training. Training has always been on our hearts, to be a training church. But right now, it feels like that we're in a bit of a fallow period. The equip scheme has come to a natural end, and we have not yet replaced it with anything. The dream is that we would become more intentional in raising up people for ordination, raising up youth pastors and kids pastors and technical people and other leaders. There's so much more that we believe God wants us to be involved in. A resourcing center. Secondly, a community hub. We are, of course, already a community hub. We have Barneys, we have conversation classes, we have Wednesday Club, which is our seniors club, we have BASE, which is our youth club. But the dream is that up at Solar House, you'll walk into the foyer there. There'll be a cafe open every week. The building will be thronged with people every day. There'll be youth clubs and kids clubs and adult education classes and aerobics and Pilates, whatever that is. We could have a gym. Who wants a gym? Yeah, some people want a gym. I only thought of that this week. It's not in the plans, but we can put it in the plans. We could have a gym there. Perhaps a beer and sausage festival. Why hasn't North Finchley got a beer and sausage festival? It's a yawning gap in our community, isn't it? Surely we could do that there. Perhaps we'll hook up with the Malton Hops next door and do something spectacular for the community. A community hub, a thriving place with thousands of people coming through the doors. Thirdly, a social enterprise. We are, of course, already a social enterprise. We have our homeless lunch on a Sunday. We help run a food bank in East Finchley. We run a night shelter through many months of the winter months. But the dream is that when you go into that cafe in the foyer at Solar House, that it be run by people who are wanting to get back into the workplace, into mainstream society, maybe ex-offenders or ex-homeless people. That we will run other social enterprise businesses, like a bike repair initiative, like a nail bar, which apparently is nothing to do with DIY. It's something to do with nails, your fingernails. A gardening service. Wouldn't it be great for us to become a center for Christians Against Poverty, CAP, where we could give advice and advocacy for those wanting to get out of debt? We could provide life skills coaching. We could have a freedom from addiction group. We could have a jobs club. I think it would be great if we hooked up with a credit union for people who want to source loans at a cheaper rate than the loan sharks. A social enterprise. A social enterprise. The next one, the fourth one, is a mission port. We are, of course, already a mission port. With our World Mission Support group, we have sent out 16 mission partners across the world and 12 mission associates. We are also sending regular short-termers, and more and more we're sending teams. Teams of people who go out to somewhere a bit hotter than England for a week or 2 weeks to get a flavor for mission. And we're doing that most years, sometimes a couple of times a year. So that's an exciting development for us. We are a sending church. One of the things that we have consistently done is send people out to be trained for ordination. Over the past 20 years, we have averaged more than one a year. So we have a consistent track record on sending people into ordination. We have four in training at the moment. Missional communities. We're also sending out these missional communities. Hopefully, in the near future, more neighborhood missional communities. But the dream is to have more of this, to have these missional communities going out from a base at St. Barnabas, resourced by St. Barnabas, doing incredible mission out in the community. Also, to back at HQ, as it were, to have rooms and facilities for those missional communities to be able to use. To be more intentional in the way that we raise up people to be sent out both as mission partners through the missional communities and also in other ways. And finally, to be regularly church planting. In my time at St. Barnabas, we have planted, we've planted out from here 5 times. We hope to do that in a more intentional, more regular way in the future as we want to build God's kingdom. So, a mission port. And then, fifthly and finally, a church base. Already, of course, we have an amazing staff. But the dream is that our staff would not work in little pockets all over the building, rarely even seeing each other, but we'd have really functional open plan offices where our staff can work in creative teamwork, perhaps in a way that's not possible at the moment. We're already a worshiping church. There was a worship night last night. Worship is one of our key hallmarks. In fact, whenever we've surveyed the church and asked, what do people most appreciate about St. Barnabas? Always, top of the list, comes worship. I'm slightly insulted by that, actually, because I think it should be my preaching should be top of the list. But it's not. It's always worship. The dream is that we would become a worshiping church that is raising up many, many worship leaders, writing songs, releasing albums, embracing creativity in a dynamic way. Then we are already a praying church. We're hearing about the central prayer meeting happening in 10 days' time on Wednesday week up at Solar House. Incredibly dynamic prayer meeting. We have other prayer meetings as well, prayer networks. We have 2 to 4 groups who are praying together. We are a praying church. But the dream is not just to have prayer meetings, but to up at Solar House, we will be able to have prayer space where people can come in and find God for themselves in a quiet space. Then teaching. We're already a church that values and prioritizes good teaching, expository teaching from the scriptures. We take that really seriously. But if we're honest, I don't think that the kind of transformational discipleship that we long for doesn't often reach beyond the core of the really keen people. And you will know whether you are one of those really keen people or whether you're just slightly on the edge. A lot of the really keen people sit near the front. Not all. So there are, I see some keen people at the back as well. But you will know. You will know whether you're one of those. Whether you're really engaged in a life-changing discipleship journey as part of your walk with God within St. Barnabas. The dream is to have engaged discipleship at every level of church life, where we're taking the whole church beyond mere Sunday Christianity, where our missional communities and our 2 to 4 groups become powerhouses of discipleship, where there's real serious engagement with the scriptures, where people are pastorally cared for, where we're addressing personal growth and transformation, where each person is living in open and accountable relationships with each other, holding each other to account within the church community, where each person is committed to their own personal growth rather than settling for the status quo. And then we have a vision to be both an attractional and a missional church. The attractional church is the church that says, come and see. And the missional church says, we are going. And the dream is to realize that vision more fully. On the attractional side, to have a major, high-profile, high-road site where everybody knows where we are and thousands of people are coming through the doors. To have stunning Sunday services, which are a major doorway for hundreds of people into the kingdom of God. On the missional side, to be going out through our missional communities to live real incarnational mission into dozens of community networks across North London. That's our vision to be a church base. That's the whole lot. Resourcing center, community hub, social enterprise, mission port, church base. Do you want to be part of that? Some of you do. Praise God. Now, I mean, this, of course, is only part of this because I believe that God, you to dream your dreams as well. For you to be part of this, because I believe that God is going to do extraordinary, extraordinary things through us. We are in partnership with God in building His kingdom. What a privilege is that? We are caught up in things that have eternal consequences. You know, Solar House will last a season. Maybe it lasts 50 years. Maybe it lasts 100 years. But it won't last. The house, it'll be gone. There'll be nothing there. The house that we are building, the kingdom that we are building, will last forever. Now, into that context, I do need to speak to you this morning also about weakness. We are not triumphalist. We know God's strength, yes, but we also know our own weakness. Saying 25, verse 10 of Proverbs 24. If you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? Now, the truth is that there aren't many proverbs about weakness. Most of the proverbs tend to imply that if you work hard and you're really strong, it'll go well. But the New Testament has a slightly different emphasis on that. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, "Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn?" If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. And I personally need to acknowledge that I am weak. The last couple of years, the Go and Grow project has taken its toll on me personally. And in addition to that extra load, I've actually had quite a lot going on in my own personal life as well, with multiple bereavements, with me having to take a bigger involvement in my family's business, and so on. And so a few weeks ago, I went to see the bishop to talk to him about this and to tell him of the exhaustion that I have been experiencing. And he has asked me to take 6 weeks compassionate leave. And I want you to know that I'm all right. I'm not in meltdown. But I also know that I am not currently firing on all cylinders. I am experiencing exhaustion, and I am not readily recovering in the normal routine of life. If I am to lead St. Barnabas into the most exciting chapter of our history, I know that I'm going to have to be on top of my game. And so I am taking the bishop's advice, and I am going to take that 6 weeks of leave from the 9th of October to help that recovery. So as Paul puts it, I am this morning boasting to you of my weakness. God does not call us to be strong. He calls us to know his strength. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. But if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. And then in the very next chapter, in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. St. Barnabas, we are on the ride of our lives. We are on the most exciting journey. It is the time to buckle up your seatbelts because we're on this incredible adventure together. Do not be concerned that I am stepping back for a short while because God is in control. His purposes are going to be fulfilled through us. And that is the most exciting thing to be involved in that you could possibly imagine. Now, I'm going to invite Jeanette to come and lead us in prayer.